welcome to Happy News Network.
We are here to brighten your week while you take a break from doom scrolling.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Shayna.
We wanted to brighten social media, so we decided to make a podcast all about happy news.
Join us as we discuss our happy news finds.
Shayna, what's your happy news this week?
Okay, so we've talked a lot about how we both kind of live under rocks. I have not seen so many classic movies, and that includes Austin Powers. I don't know how, but I came across someone referencing the three-point parking scene, and I had no idea what it meant. So I looked the scene up on YouTube, and I cannot stop laughing when I watch it. And like, I watch it maybe all the time. It just, like, if I'm stressed, it calms me down because I'm laughing so much. If I'm not feeling so great about my day, I watch it and it cheers me right up. Like, it is the antidote for anything that's not happy. It is like the perfect 90 seconds of movie.
Cause you're like, oh my gosh, my life is going nowhere. And then you watch that and you're like, oh, could definitely be worse.
Yes. Yes. The little 2.5 seconds where he like is looking backwards and the thing goes forwards. Like, come on, we've all been there accidentally. Like,
I love. Oh, I'm okay. So happy for you. Oh, welcome.
Thank you. Yes. Welcome to the club. So what is your happy news this week?
It was nice out and I built a sidewalk.
Did you do that clear wood stuff? Was that your project last week?
Oh, no, I thought about it, but I didn't want to spend that much time on it. No, I took like 6 pallets from a local shop that keeps pallets out back that now knows me well enough that like I walk in and they're like, yeah, just go get, you know, the ones. So I grabbed 6 pallets, ripped them all apart, stained them, like sanded them, stained them, and then put them back together kind of and built like a pallet sidewalk. We have a really tiny yard and things don't really grow here because of where we live and it's just poor soil. So I put most things in pots anyway. And yeah, I just covered up the crappy dirt with this cute sidewalk that like matches my patio furniture.
That's really fun. That's so handy and crafty all at the same time.
Yeah, it was so fun. I'm sure my neighbors hated me because I'm like banging around with all these tools and I've got like my drills going at 9 a.m. and my sander out. Like, but whatever. I had a good time and I didn't get evicted because of a noise complaint. So thrilled.
Listen, we're here for it. We're over a year into quarantine. We all know what those DIY projects sound like. If it's not screaming at someone in the kitchen, it's drilling outside to get the ants out, you know, the antsy out anyway. So, yeah. So what's your first round of happy news this week?
So my first round of happy news is the history of female brewers.
Ooh.
So this article got me so excited. I literally like wrote my summary and then immediately told Aaron all about it because I could not keep it to myself. So I remember like learning about like George Washington and the people that founded this country were like drunk all the time because water wasn't safe. So they drank like meat or beer or whatever, you know, like, like there's like
everything about the government makes sense now.
Right. There's like a Ben Franklin quote that's in like every brewery that's something about like, but there's bacteria in water, so drink beer or something crazy. But anyway, so beer was like a staple in the common household. And it was originally a woman's duty, like part of her household chores to brew it. So get this, by the 1500s, it was very common for women's chores to include brewing, which involved brews in a large cauldron. And they would keep cats around to protect the grain from mice. And when they would sell their beer at market, they would wear what? A tall, pointy hat. So what does it sound like? A witch. Correct. But in the early 1500s, when all of this was like commonplace, it was decided by the powers that be, I'm not going to name any names, but by the powers that be, it was decided that brewing took up too much of the women's time and should become a man's job so she could better care for the children and take care of the home. Sure, totally makes sense. Perfect. But then you have single women who learned how to brew from their mothers and their upbringing and household chores, but they would continue to brew and make money for themselves. And then they were labeled as witches. And we all know what happens to them. Now, nothing like solidly proves that like women brewers are where like what we think of witches nowadays comes from, but like, it seems pretty clear to me.
I'm seeing some pretty direct correlations, and like, what it sounds like is, oh yeah, you like a good beer, you like a good flight.
Sure do.
Maybe for Halloween, you just label yourself a brewer. I mean, yeah. This is like, you forever have a costume now.
I love that.
Oh, this is super cool. Thank you for sharing. I heard brewers and I went, oh, is it the Milwaukee Brewers? No, you would never talk about that. You're from Ohio. That's not allowed.
No, we don't discuss the team up north. No.
Okay. This is my news is much more modern, and it focuses on handiness around the house, but in a completely different capacity. So we all remember the Texas snowstorms from this winter. So say what you want about my fellow New Jerseyans, New Jersey plumber Andrew Mitchell and his apprentice, Isaiah Pinnock, drove all the way to Texas this winter to help families during those snowstorms. And they hopped in the car. They bought as many supplies as they could while they were still in New Jersey, because they were running out of supplies in Texas. They wanted to come prepared. And they drove 22 hours to Houston. Isaiah, the apprentice, his sister lives in Houston, and she basically just enlisted their help. And she even made all their appointments because they were in such high demand. So Andrew and Isaiah worked nonstop fixing pipe bursts and water damages and other just house damages. And some people had tried to get as many as 15 plumbers before they could get Mitchell's Plumbing and Heating to help fix up their homes. Could you imagine 15 plumber attempts while you're running low, probably on phone battery, to try and get your house fixed? And I can't even imagine. Like, we get inconvenienced if it's like two extra stops on the errands that day. I can't imagine 15 tries to get your house fixed. It's got to be really brutal. So Andrew and Isaiah, they were so busy during that initial visit that it got extended and extended. They stayed for about a month, it seemed, to help people out. They, as of the time the article was written, they were going to give it another 2 weeks and then go home, but they had already been there a few weeks by then.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh. Yeah. But like, how amazing. What a random act of kindness, really. Like, that's incredible. I love that. And from somebody in New Jersey, who would have thought?
Hey. Hey, sometimes times of crisis, it wipes the snot right out of you. No. New Jersey's full of really great people who just are very strong-willed.
Oh my God. My second article is this company that I saw on Shark Tank, and I don't remember if they got a deal or not. I just like was obsessed with this company and kind of quit paying attention to the episode after the like presentation. And I just wanted to talk about them a little bit because it's super cool. It's called Tallulah Totes, totes that carry a country. So how it works is fabric is collected from around the world. Bags are made in the US, and then micro loans are given back to each totes country. So like, what's a micro loan? Just small loans that aren't always paid back. And Tallulah Totes typically gives somewhere in like the $500 to $1,500 range. When you purchase a tote, that it gives the micro loans to a fabric maker in that country, an adult in the US who makes the tote, and a small business owner in that country. And so far they've given over $250,000 in microloans and impacted over 1,400 communities. And I just thought that was super cool. And I can't wait to like have a steady income and buy a tote from every country I possibly can, because I'm here for that mission. And I love everything about it. And they're super colorful and fun, and Tallulah Totes.
I can't wait to check these out. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
That's so cool. And who doesn't love some really cool, unique item collection? This is a really cool way to help many, many global economic efforts. And it seems like there's a huge impetus on fair working environments and conditions. So that's a really cool thing to support.
Yeah. So just wanted to spread the love for Tallulah Totes as seen on Shark Tank.
Ooh, love it. And who doesn't love Shark Tank?
I mean, it's so fun.
It's so addicting. It's a guilty yeah. pleasure show to watch, but there's no guilt about it because what's to lose?
Yeah, I'm not losing anything in this.
Right. Our name's not Mark Cuban. Okay, so we're going to keep the global theme up. I don't know if you saw this, so apologies if this is old news for you, Kristen. The Moonlight Mobile Theater is a Japanese dance company, and they created this very innovative way to bring back limited audience members to avant-garde performances while they maintain social distancing. So I don't know if you saw this article, up to 30 audience members are separated into these individual cubicles, and they surround a circular stage with individual entry points to those cubicles. So there's stools inside the cubicles, and each individual audience member sits on the stool. They watch the show through these little mail slot style windows and peepholes. And so it's so cool. The slots in the wall and the holes in the wall that they look through, they even look almost like a fancy door. It's super cool looking. It's very futuristic looking.
I love that. I'm picturing like opera boxes for everyone. Mm-hmm. But like, then you're like behind the wall of a haunted house. Like you are those eyes. Like that sounds so cool.
It is. It's really cool looking. And it's just really neat. They were, I think, originally potentially considering the wider viewing options, but because this is a circular situation, they found that limiting the audience's vision kept them more absorbed in the performance. So like, imagine if you're watching a show, but on the other side is like a giant clear cutout for the other audience member. You're not really going to keep your eye on the performance. You might end up doing my favorite activity, people watching instead. And so they're calling it people viewing, which is such a cute term, and it's like so aptly named because it's just exactly what it is. And as of early March, they've sold out 12 shows like this. And I do want to stress on the audience and financial side of things, the article did state these audience ticket prices do not cover the cost of the performance. They are not expected to, and there's no monetary way they can. So they help cover some of the additional safety measures, but government subsidies have basically been their way of making ends meet. So yeah, there is a way to bring back the arts. We have to, you know, and especially here in the States, I think we have to consider that immediate profit will take some time.
Oh, for sure. For sure. All the added cost with everything, all the safety measures that we have to take into account now. But
oh yeah,
but that's incredible. I am a horrible audience member. Like as a stage manager, like I'm the person that's sitting there in producer seats being like, turn your phone off. Stop eating gum. Like in the middle of a show. I'm like,
oh, you're like the audience hall monitor.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is not fun for me or anybody, but I would love to sit in a cubicle and just look through a little peephole and enjoy the performance with others separately.
Does that make sense? Yes. You can applaud without crinkling your wrapper in each other's ears.
Exactly. Wow. I'm here for that. Love that.
Yeah. How could I not share that with a fellow stage manager? Like I knew you'd love it.
Yeah, I'm so here for that because honestly, if it's, since you're not able to people watch everybody, it's like, whatever. If you have your phone out, it's not distracting to other people, just the people that you're with, and they'll tell you where to shove it. So,
and doesn't it present really cool staging opportunities to be staging in the round? And it totally mm-hmm. breaks that proscenium style way of you're here, mm-hmm. we're here. There's a proscenium that separates us. Maybe we break the fourth wall, maybe we don't, but it's such a cool, unique way to integrate the audience back in.
Yeah. I love that. My laugh story is like wild, and I cannot wait for the Lifetime movie of this to come out. Like this must be made into a film. So, okay. This woman got a job in a restaurant and became good friends with the hostess. Like you get a job, you make a friend at work. Sure. But these women eventually noticed that they had a lot of similar personality traits, including matching tattoos of the flag of the Dominican Republic. Like what a random like matching tattoo. It's just in different places on their bodies. But they became best friends and even got people at work to like, they tricked people at work. Like, no, we're sisters. And people at work were like, oh, sure. And they're like, idiots. So one of the girls did a 23andMe test, or one of those DNA, like find your history tests for a holiday. And she wanted to find her birth father from presumably the Dominican Republic, she thought. So she did this and it all went well. And she met her father and all these other siblings. And so she encouraged her friend to do one too. Both of these girls were adopted. So she encouraged her best friend at work, her work sister, to get one too. And she like didn't want to. She was just like afraid of the worst, you know, what if my father is no longer living? What if he's a horrible human? What if all these horrible things? And she was like, just do it, just do it. And she wouldn't do it. So the girl who met up with her father was just asking some questions and asked if they maybe gave up any other children for adoption. And he said that they did, Shayna, get this. So her friend ended up doing this 23andMe test and found out that they actually are sisters, and 57% of their DNA is the same. Like, what are the odds that these two babies born in the Dominican Republic are put up for adoption, both get adopted by families in Connecticut, and then end up working at the same restaurant? Like, that is wild. Wild.
I mean, we've all seen The Parent Trap.
Yeah, it's very like, Parent Trap in real life. They weren't twins, but
like, I know. And I'm like waiting to hear like, oh, did they try the Oreos and peanut butter? Like, I just... That is insane. Yeah. Oh my God. Could you imagine?
No, it's crazy. And like the craziest thing, I mean, that's all crazy, but like this has all happened during times of COVID. So they've only been able to FaceTime their father in the Dominican Republic, but like,
oh my God,
they FaceTime all the time, but they are, and like, they're making plans to visit in person, of course, but like doing all of this over, could you imagine hopping on a Zoom and being like, hi, I'm your daughter. Like, what?
It kind of breaks some of that social anxiety, but it's not the same. It's so not the same. And also like, there's this amazing buffer of like, oh, you've got another daughter. Here she is. It like, because there's two of them and they're best friends, like there's this safety net. That is so cool. And I wonder, like, how did the fates align that way? That is insane to me.
Yeah, it's wild. Like, it's like a lot of best friends have similarities, but like to have the same tattoo, like that's something that you had to choose.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just wild. Mm-hmm.
Well, my last article feels like it pales in comparison, but it's really cute.
Love it. Here for cute.
Okay. So you talked a few weeks ago about Mardi Gras. Mm-hmm. Okay. I came across this article about our new official holiday of Happy News Network, which is Mardi Gras. So in Fairhope, Alabama, the Country Place Living Community which is a senior living community. It is located next to the STARS Early Learning Academy. So we've also talked about the blending of old and little kids. It's a hit. So these preschoolers became Mardi Gras party animals and they had a socially distanced parade for the senior center. So
how do cute. I like sign up to be an attendee next time?
I mean, you just look at those photos. It's the cutest thing. And they even had someone trumpeting leading the parade. So cute. So cute. And so the kids pushed those stroller thing, like those plastic cars that have the tops and the second you get too tall, you smack your head on them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
so they
yeah,
pushed
yeah.
those and they pushed like plastic play shopping carts, and like the elderly residents watched from their windows. There were outdoor seating areas. It was so they could like all partake in the fun. It was so cute. And these kids were dressed up in like party masks. The strollers had signs on them and beads, and the teachers all had colorful like masks and accessories too, and there were pom-poms, like just fun. And then this is the best part. It's not even their first time having a parade, these kids. This is their holiday tradition during COVID for the resident senior community. They started, as this goes as far back as last Halloween, they did a Halloween parade to cheer these people up who aren't able to, you know, see their families for holidays. And, you know, Mardi Gras is such a huge, huge deal in the South. So what a hit. And the seniors loved it. And
the senior community posted about it on social media and said the kids were cuter than crawdads.
So that is the highest of compliments.
It's like, how cute. So, okay, maybe there are some siblings in this parade, but like nothing tops your secret sister art. Like I can't wait for Tia and Tamra Mowry to play these women, but like I feel like this is like the most epic range of articles we've ever talked about.
I love it. It's fun. It like diverse happiness. Yeah. I'm here for it.
Yeah. Okay. So we've talked so much about happy news that we've read. What are you looking forward to?
Theaters are starting to kind of slowly crack open their doors. And you and I have talked about before, like being COVID compliance officers. And so I'm just having meetings with other theater companies and just sharing everything I've done and how I can help in any kind of way, because like money is not a thing I'm thinking about. It's just, how do I help get people in my industry in this area back to work? Mm-hmm. So I had meetings with 3 theater companies this last week, just about what are you doing? How are you doing it? These are my suggestions. Whoa. Best of luck.
Very exciting. Email. And these are local to the Colorado area.
Yeah. Yeah. So
It's so exciting. And I do think we've talked quite a bit about this. I think regional theaters are going to be able to make comebacks because like we sort of explored with Japan, and we've talked a lot offline about this. There's less reliance on ticket sales to justify having performances. And I think your recent show sort of highlighted that. First, we have to figure out how to safely do theater. Then we figure out the larger scale options of it. But getting shows off the ground, I love that you're dedicating so much time to making this happen.
Yeah. And like the theater community is so small. Everybody talks about that all the time. So people are like, well, we need a COVID compliance officer. Who do we know that can do that? Aaron, do you know anybody? And Aaron's like, well, Kristen and I both are this.
Yeah.
And she already has an entire system figured out. So just ask her. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't believe in like secret theater. So I'm like, take my templates. I've done the work.
Yeah.
I want you to be able to hire people. So do this.
It's not selfish for you to help other people be successful. And there's a limited number of opportunities in theater because there's a finite number of venues in which we can have theater. So there can be a lot of territorial behavior sometimes. So I think you're one of the first people I know who is trying to be transparent in sharing resources to make these things happen. I'm so honored that I get to call you a friend and coworker.
Yeah. Take it all. Take all my paperwork. It just says created by Kristen at the bottom.
Yeah. Done.
It's the only credit I need is for you to just know that you didn't make it. I did, but you can use it.
It's an Excel thing.
Anyway, what are you looking forward to?
Well, I feel like I've set the goal in motion. Now I have to watch the Austin Powers film. So I am looking forward to finally, maybe like 17,000 years later, watching them.
Yes, here for it. If you need to like live tweet somebody, like here for you.
Oh, done. We all know I don't tweet. So that's done.
Right.
I will just tweet you privately. That's just called texting.
I think it's a text. I'm not sure.
Can you spy the elder millennials in the room?
Right. What are the kids up to these days? Cool. Well, welcome to the Austin Powers universe soon. So
thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I will absolutely keep you posted. I feel like you and I have very similar taste in things. And if you are this happy about the prospect of them getting watched, like can't wait for the actual thing themselves.
We love all forms of happy news and happy news.
Be sure to send us your own day-to-day happy news. Cute pet stories, kids saying the darndest things, whatever you're up to, we love it all.
Email us at hnnpodcast@gmail.com. Also, follow us on social media at hnnpodcast for happy news throughout the week.
And be sure to subscribe to us through Patreon, where you'll get exclusive content and more.
Until next time, I'm Kristen.
And I'm Shayna.
Have a happy week.